Yeah.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
Greetings, my friend. You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents... places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of
Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Hey, welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Hey, listen to this, folks. Here's a story from Miami, Florida. It's kind of, well, disturbing. They say here a security camera captured something unsettling. A Florida man was arrested for driving a stolen Mercedes, and the camera shows him actually chewing off and eating his fingertips to avoid being fingerprinted by the police. Not only is this guy chewing off the ends of his fingers and swallowing the flesh, but he is then rubbing them against a police car's metal caging for good measure. Turns out, didn't matter. Despite his dedication, a fingertip scanner still quickly identified the man, who was also carrying a fake ID, three fake credit cards, and a concealed firearm. So just goes to show you, one way or another these days, they'll get you. No sense in eating your own fingers. Reminds me of a scene from a movie called Inbred Rednecks, for those of you who may have some awareness of that distant cult hit. Hey, folks, thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. I am founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Sam the Animal Steel. Happy October, Sam.
Hey, happy October to you too. Long time, long time.
This show is so overdue, and before we get into why that is, I also am so excited to be officially ringing in October with one of the people I know who appreciates it above all. I think it's her favorite time of year, investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop, the unofficial mascot of the show. We only say unofficial because we don't know what she's going to do on the news tomorrow. But Shelley, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm loving this October weather.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. Well, you know, I'm still here in the Bermuda Triangle in Puerto Rico, and it's like year-round summertime here.
My schedule the rest of the year is up in the air. It's very uncertain. So this may be the first October that I am actually not back in North Carolina, but that's okay because I'm doing a lot of stuff to promote the new book, Use the Force, and some other things we're going to talk about tonight. So let me just go ahead and say, it's not very often I start off this show by saying I feel completely overwhelmed, but I honestly do. And that is because this show should have aired well over a month ago. However, for those who maybe just listen to podcasts and don't realize it, well, our program is produced at our flagship station in Asheville, North Carolina, called News Radio 570 WWNC, owned by iHeartMedia, formerly Clear Channel, and it is a real old-fashioned nuts-and-bolts terrestrial radio station that actually broadcasts out there through FCC-regulated airwaves that you can drive your car or pickup truck, and you can turn an old knob, and you can actually hear us. And so what that means is that sometimes, because we're broadcasting from an honest-to-goodness radio station, we get preempted for ball games. And there has just been a big, long series of ball games. That's what happens this time of year. And so sometimes we don't even know till the last minute if we're going to be preempted or if we're going to have a show. But it's just been ball games every Saturday night. And that's going to happen the rest of the year to a certain extent. But we're good to go for this evening. So that said, is there anything else, Sam, that we should mention on a programming note?
Let's see. On a programming note, I mean, it is that time of year. It's fall. You got football. You got the high school. You got the collegiate. We got all that. Yeah. So, I mean, that does kind of – it is a bummer for this show especially. But, no, yeah. Nothing I can think of. I mean, we haven't talked in a while. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I want to catch up on. But
yeah.
It seemed like you were only here for, like, 2 weeks.
Samuel, tell me about your mother.
My Maja is doing fine.
You're on the couch, and I'm like, do you have any weird dreams at night? Now, that sounded a little too much like Dracula, which is interesting because I do have some Dracula stuff to talk about. But let me just – I'm going to do my best to start getting a handle on real content here. For one thing, last night I was on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie because of a big, gigantic press release that was sent out on October 1st. I have been keeping a secret all year, a little surprise that I finally revealed on October 1st, last Thursday. And the gist of it is, I went to Washington, D.C. and did a major investigation of the notorious White House ghost photo. And I dug deep and I kind of ended up on a wild goose chase and I discovered things I didn't know I was going to discover. I'm not going to talk about that tonight, however, because I have so much other stuff I need to catch up on. But I will tell you that if you go right now to my personal website, joshuapwarren.com, there is no P after the P, joshuapwarren.com, you'll find a link that I finally put up there to the actual press release and a video report. I think it's something like maybe 15 minutes. A 15-minute, very nicely done video report co-produced by myself and Mr. C. Eric Scott that shows you what I discovered when I did history's first ever true in-depth investigation of the White House ghost photo. And let me tell you all something. What I found prompted me to be so bold as to proclaim this the world's most amazing ghost photo.
Well, can we ask, without you giving anything away, no spoilers, I mean, did you get to investigate in the actual White House? Or
I did go into the White House. I have been into the White House. And so, as a matter of fact, you'll see some interesting footage of me and the White House. But you can't take pictures inside the White House.
Question number two, did you get me one of those Lincoln Memorial oversized pennies at the many kiosks around the Pennsylvania Avenue area?
The only reason you produced this show is to try to persuade me to bring you souvenirs my travel.
Well, lucky for you, I was just in Washington not too long ago, and I got my own oversized, comically large Lincoln Memorial penny. So, whatever.
Did you bring me one?
You can have mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I well, share.
Sam has got the pinkest shirt I've ever seen, though, from Boca Raton. Are you still are you still wooing the ladies with that one?
Hey, it's worked a couple times.
So that's one thing I want to mention. Go there and look at that. Watch that video. Read about it. Learn about it. And then on our next Speaking of Strange, I will really dig into that, and we'll talk a lot about it. Gosh, you know what? Last time we did a show, they hadn't discovered water on Mars.
I hadn't gone gray.
Yeah, so so much has changed. But let me just go ahead and tell you this, because we do have our first break here coming up before too long. Let me give you sort of an overview of what we're going to dig into tonight. For one thing, I guess the last time I was on this program was actually before I said on this program, like I'm a guest. The last time I've done too many radio appearances. The last time I did this program was before I traveled to Michigan to do the Michigan Paracon. It seems like so long ago. To go up there and speak to the masses about UFOs and the Bermuda Triangle, and then we actually went outside and we did our big experiment to try to manifest a UFO. I'm going to tell you guys what happened when we did that. And then after that, I went to Philadelphia, and I had never spent any good time in Philadelphia, and I did a book signing there, but I got to go see some amazing sights like the actual hall where the Declaration of Independence was signed, Independence Hall there, all the Liberty Bell and all that stuff. I'm going to tell you about some of my adventures and experiences, but I'm sorry?
Didn't you go to the Mutter Museum?
I went to the Motor Museum, and I'm going to tell you what that was like. I actually got to look at Einstein's brain. How wild.
So cool.
Well, on the topic of Einstein's brain, did you have Pat's or Geno's, or did you go with an alternative cheesesteak option?
Let me tell you something. I was on a mission to determine the very best cheesesteak in Philadelphia, because I've always been just a cheesesteak freak.
They're great. I mean, tell me you go with Cheese Whiz.
Well, of course.
Of course. Okay.
I'm a cheese guy. I'm cheesy. But I will tell you, I literally ate 10 cheesesteaks in 5 days.
What did you think? What was your ranking? What was the best?
I've come to my conclusion, and I'm going to share that with all of you tonight on the program at the appropriate time.
I'm excited because I have my own thoughts.
It's going to be interesting to see if we agree. But, Sam, I want to tell everybody this, though. I had a really negative experience on this trip. I almost got arrested, and this is no
public
BS.
Nudity.
It was worse than that. I mean, if I almost got arrested for a major crime that I did not commit. And when we come back from this break, I just need to get this off my chest. This is not a joke. I really am going to tell you the true story of what happened to me. And I think that everybody should understand this. Call it a public service message so that it doesn't happen to you. That's coming up first thing when we get back. And then a big, long, crazy expose. And, you'll get the story of my travel. Let's put it that way. This is the program where we talk about the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. It's called Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll be right back.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. As the big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain well seasoned. Concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. Then later that night when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling? The wind and the wires made a tattletale sound, and the wave broke over the railing. And every man knew, as the captain did too, 'twas the witch of November come stealing. The dawn came late and the breakfast had to wait when the gales of November came slashing. When afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind.
You know, you can't travel to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan without thinking of this song. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. By the way, if you don't know this already, you better write it down, because, yes, the holidays are practically here. The number to Wright's Coin Shop is 828-298-5402. That's 828-298-5402. We'll talk to Shelley, you know, a little bit more about what's happening there at Wright's. But so listen to this, folks. Okay, you know, at the Great Lakes are, I think, probably the dangerous bodies of water in the world, if you want to look at the actual dimensions of the water and compare it to the amount of terrible accidents that have happened.
A lot of terrible accidents happen.
Thousands and thousands, going back to the beginning of their, you know, well, recorded history, we can say. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of years. And in fact, it was interesting. You can walk into certain, like, restaurants, and they'll have a map of just one of the Great Lakes. And everywhere there has been a ship that has sunk, they will represent it with a little ship icon. And I'm telling you, there is not one space that isn't filled. Every single space on the lake is filled with an icon of a ship. I mean, it's nuts how dangerous they are. So there's kind of the creepy vibe when you're up there in general. But anyway, okay, I was up there because I was speaking at the Michigan Paracon, which is held at the Key Waden Casino, which is in Sault Ste. Marie. Now, let me tell you this story, guys, about how I almost got arrested now, and for something, a very serious crime. And mind you, I have never been arrested in my life. My record is squeaky clean. Born in the United States, lived in the U.S. my whole life. There's nothing, you know, odd about my profile, so to speak, other than just the stuff I'm into. It was kind of weird because Sault Ste. Marie has an American side and a Canadian side. And I rented a car in Sault Ste. Marie, and then I found out later that the rental place was on the Canadian side. And I called them, and they said, oh, yeah, it's no problem to rent a car in Canada. You know, it's same as America, whoop-de-doo, you know. So I said, fine, and I kept the reservations. So in order for me to get my car, I had to hire a taxi cab to take me across the border from the U.S. into Canada.
Do you not Uber?
No, I've never done that.
Wow.
Yeah, I ride in taxis all the time, and people say you need to Uber, and I just, you know, I just haven't.
You should. Get on the ball, son. Get on the ball.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any more space for a new wrinkle in my brain. I'll have to find a spot. Anyway, so I got a taxi to take me across the border to Canada. I got my car. It was all fine. Came back, no problem. Then fast forward a week later, I have to return the car. So I drove to Canada, no problem. Drop off the car. The taxi cab driver, he picks up me and my wife, Lauren, and he is taking us back across the bridge from Canada into the U.S. Now, I've been to Canada many times, and you always expect the Canadian customs people to be jerks. I've had a lot of bad experiences with them just being jerks. But I've never had an issue with my fellow Americans, you know, getting back. So, boy, did that change. So anyway, here we go. I'm in the taxi cab. It's just myself and Lauren and the taxi cab driver. And as we're about to get up there to the checkpoint, he takes our passports. But then I noticed that he just had a driver's license in his hand. And I said, is that some kind of special passport? He's like, no, I just use my driver's license. And I said, oh, you can do that? And he goes, hey, well, I live in Sault Ste. Marie. I've been here, you know, for X amount of years. They know me. You know, it's not a big deal. Okay, fine. Well, apparently that day the lady who was working there thought it was a big deal that he didn't have a passport. And so she said, you got to pull this van over. Okay, so we pull over. These two U.S. customs agents come over. They open the door, and they tell us to all get out and to leave our bags in place. All right, fine. And so they make us go inside the little station there and sit down. Well, like 10 minutes later, these two customs guys, who are, you know, big brawny, puffed-up fellows, they come walking back in, and they've got my backpack in their hand, in the hand of one of the guys. And he says, whose backpack is this? I said, it's mine. You know, I very quickly claimed it. Now, let me pause for a moment to explain something. Okay? I travel a lot, and I frequently travel by airplane. And I have had my luggage lost on many, many occasions. And, boy, that can screw up your whole trip if your luggage gets lost and you got to hang out by the airport for a day or whatever to get your luggage again. So I, over the years, have learned to condense my luggage so I don't have checked luggage. When I get on an airplane, I just bring my carry-on whenever I can. And part of that is, again, streamlining everything you own. Now, also, when I travel, I like to make sure I'm prepared for everything. And so I have a little selection of, I think, normal sort of over-the-counter drugs that I bring. I bring allergy pills, sleeping pills, anti-diarrheal pills, you know, just stuff like that. But you know how you go to the drugstore and you buy a bottle of some medication and it's a big clunky bottle and you open it and you take the cotton out and there's like 20 little pills down there? So instead of taking all these bottles, I just pour the pills into Ziploc bags.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I put them in a Ziploc baggie, and I take a Sharpie, and I write on the outside what it is. I have done that for years. I've traveled all around the world that way, and I've never had a single issue. This dude, this day, pulls out, you know, my little Ziploc baggies with pills, and he says, do you have a prescription for these? I said, no. I said, they're mainly over-the-counter pills. And he goes, are any of these narcotics? I said, no. He goes, are any of these opiates? I said, no. And then the two look at each other like, and this guy just starts peacocking big time and says, all right, come with me. And at this point, I'm thinking, well, I got nothing to worry about, of course, because obviously, you know, I know that these are just regular things you can go to Walgreens and buy. These guys take me all the way down to the opposite end of this big, long building, and boy, do they lay into me. And they start asking me all these questions about my personal habits and my history, and they're telling me I need to provide information. If I had to bring up my Walgreens app.
Did you have spread your toes and cough?
Oh, man. You know what? I was thinking that could come next. There came a point, and I'll be honest with all of you, there came a point when I realized, like the reality set in, that these guys actually thought that I was a drug smuggler. And it was like, they
were
about
to... It's very humorous if you know you.
Yeah, they were like about to high five each other. And you know what's funny is you see these TV shows where these guys bust drug dealers, and when they're done, they take a picture, you know, with it, with what they've got, like it's a trophy, you know. So these guys
they've got your Imodium, like
yeah,
your yeah, yeah. They're having a great day, like woo, you know, we nailed one. And these guys, they seem kind of young, but still pretty tough, you know. Like maybe they were just a little bit too riled up. But when I realized that these guys were serious and that there was a chance that they were about to detain me and do whatever they needed to do, I'm telling you, this flood of adrenaline went through me, and I became very angry and nervous and bewildered, and all these things just hit me at once, and it was a very disturbing feeling.
It was then that you realized that your wife, Lauren, wasn't who she thought you were. What has she done to me?
Okay, we're up on a break. When we come back, I will tell you how this concluded. And then we'll move on from there. Yes, obviously I didn't get arrested, so you know that. But I'll tell you how that wrapped up. And then we'll move on to the big experiment that we did in order to manifest or attempt to manifest a UFO using wishing machines over Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. I am Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You are listening to Speaking of Strange. From the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains, Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky, and hosting from Puerto Rico, the heart of the Bermuda Triangle, I am Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird, and this is Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and you may and you certainly should call Wright's at 828-298-5402. That's 828-298-5402. Let me remind you now, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find more information on topics discussed, a live chat during the program. You'll even find our podcast section there where you can listen for absolutely free to editions of this program going back years. So you should definitely go check it out, and especially since, gosh, I've got so much stuff I'm sharing on the program tonight. I'll try to link as much of it up there as possible. In fact, you know, if you're a Facebook friend, you might have heard I actually just got a new book deal, and this one is for a novel. I can't tell you anything more than that, but that's the kind of thing that you can find when it's, you know, when I can publicize it, if you just go to speakingofstrange.com. So you should go there at least once a week and sort of check it out and you know, see what I'm up to.
Maybe this is finally a chance for you to get out some of that stuff that you've been holding in on that romance stuff that you were talking about.
So funny you say that, because I had a similar conversation with my wife, and she was telling me how I'm not a romance writer, because this book that I have coming out is very unromantic. And now, Shelley, you got a little sneak peek at what's coming, so I think you can agree.
Oh, yeah. No romance.
Yeah. This is an R-rated, hard-boiled crime novel.
A hard R?
Yeah. Well, with a paranormal bent, I'll put it that way. It's got a lot of foul language in it. It's got some very graphic violence. There's no explicit sex or anything like that. So,
come on. Come on.
But it is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is, I think, going to be out by the end of the year, which is even a shocker for me because, you know, usually you get a book published and it comes out like a year later.
It's October.
Yeah.
November, so you're going to write a book, get it published, and out in 2 months?
It's already written.
It's written.
Okay.
Yeah, the novel's been done for a while. I've been waiting for the appropriate time, and the publisher's like, "Hey, this is the appropriate time. Let's put it out." So, more details on that coming soon. Back to the real drama in my life. Here I am with these two U.S. Customs agents, practically high-fiving each other on a Sunday afternoon, because they're about to drag me away and put me in some dungeon as an international drug smuggler because I have, like, anti-diarrhea pills and allergy pills and sleeping pills and crap like that that anybody can go to Walgreens and buy. But I just put them in Ziploc baggies because I didn't want to have to carry around the big bulky bottles. Well, folks, don't do that, apparently. Don't do that.
That's what trial size is for.
Yeah, well, I'm realizing that they are thinking, you know, they're just listening to me trying to figure out how I'm trying to deceive them when I'm actually telling the truth. And, you know, I've always thought, can you imagine being in a court of law where you're accused of a murder you didn't commit, like, Harrison Ford in The Fugitive? I could not keep my composure, man. There would be a point where I would just stand up and just start screaming, blank you, you know, I didn't do this. So anyway, good news.
Did you curse at them?
No, I didn't curse at them. No, I knew that wasn't going to do any good. But there would have come a point where I probably would have, if they'd started dragging me away, I probably would have lost my cool, you know, at that point. And I thought that was a possibility because they would have eventually seen like, oh, I didn't have anything illegal. But, you know, they could give themselves 2 or 3 days.
It would have taken a while to test every single pill.
Yeah. Yeah, let's send this to the lab, you know, and we'll keep him for 3 days or whatever until we get there.
They can
or
do that,
knows?
Too.
Or,
yeah,
you know, you write a list of everything in there, and they go to Walgreens and buy it and
they wouldn't
see.
Do that, though.
That would just be too easy.
They would take it to the lab and charge him.
They did make me write a list of everything, and I had to be very specific about, like, how many milligrams and all that, which is a good thing I had my Walgreens app there. So anyway, long story short, the guy finally turns to me and he says, okay, well, I didn't recognize this one, you know, and then he goes, here's where I was, and he holds his hand up kind of high, and he says, but now I'm here, like it's de-escalated, he lowered his hand.
DEFCON 3.
Yeah, and so finally the guy says, well, from now on, you know, you need to carry verification or prescriptions or whatever, blah, 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 blah. Don't put them in Ziploc baggies. It just, like, gives me this whole lecture, and I'm like, I understand. Got it. Understood. And so then after that, he goes out and he lectures the guy who was the cabbie, and he let us go. But the whole rest of the day, I was just like, that was incredible. Again, a guy like myself with zero criminal record, with a passport, born in the U.S., and same thing for my wife, they would just jump to this conclusion that I'm some kind of a drug smuggler. So obviously that ticked me off, and now I pass this experience along to all of you as a little public service announcement. If you're like me, well, now you know what you better not do.
Are you going to use your wishing machine for devious, nefarious purposes?
No. No. It's all said and done. Moving on. Okay, let's get back to the big event in Michigan. Now, let me just tell you guys that the event was, again, held at a casino called the Key Waden Casino. And, yes, I did quite well in the casino. I usually have good luck in the casino. I don't tell anybody, but I set my wishing machine up before I go to the casino. That's what I do. I will tell you, for example, at one point I put a $10 bill into a slot machine, and about 10 minutes later I had $500, okay? That would be an example of this. So anyway, also this event was really cool. You may have seen this online. I actually got to meet Ernie Hudson.
That's right.
You saw that, Sam.
Yes,
and
yes.
You saw that.
I got to
really have some quality time with Ernie Hudson. Now, Ernie
how was
Hudson,
that? How
he was fantastic. He was cool as you can imagine. Ernie Hudson is one of the original Ghostbusters. Okay, and
well, Ghostbusters 2.
No, he was in the original
one.
Of yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah, you're right. My bad.
Excuse me. He was in the original Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2. I don't know if he's going to make a cameo in the new Ghostbusters. He's the first, like, real Ghostbuster that I've gotten to meet. And I had him sign some stuff that I can put in the Asheville Mystery Museum, which is, you know, it's downtown Asheville. You get to go there if you take one of our Haunted Asheville tours. That was great. But also, I got to meet, for the first time ever, Dr. Jeff Meldrum. Do you know who Jeff Meldrum is, guys?
No.
Okay. He's one of those people that you would really hold in high regard if you are into cryptozoology, which is, you know, looking into Bigfoot and all that. Jeff Meldrum is a legitimate professor at a legitimate university, and I think his colleagues just can't stand him because that he's got all these upstanding mainstream credentials, but he says that Bigfoot is real. And he has made his mark in the world of Bigfootery by being a forensic specialist where he studies dermal ridges, and he's like the leading guy who looks into Bigfoot casts. And we actually have some casts also at the Asheville Mystery Museum that he has analyzed and apparently says are credible. So if you've ever seen these Bigfoot programs, he's been on so many of these Bigfoot shows.
What's his name again?
Jeff Meldrum. Last name is Meldrum.
Okay, now that you said the Bigfoot, the show thing, it started to pop into my head from I watched a special.
Yeah, he has a mustache. He's a soft-spoken guy. He's got brown hair. And, I mean, if you're into Bigfoot shows, you've seen Dr. Jeff Meldrum.
Firm backside. He's got dark hair, glasses, firm, powerful back.
Same way he describes a Bigfoot. Meldrum, I had a little time there to just talk. I've always wanted to talk to him because, for those of you who don't know, people are surprised. They think that I believe in everything. You know, but the fact of the matter is, I don't believe in everything, and I think Bigfoot is one of the weakest things out there. What I mean by that is, if you're going to tell me that you think Bigfoot is some kind of a normal biological organism, like an undiscovered ape, I don't believe that. Okay, I just don't, because I think that we're very, very good at documenting normal biological organisms, and I think there would just be a lot more hair, a lot more scat, a lot more of an impact on the ecology. I think it's probably an interdimensional being, like a ghostly kind of thing. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I will tell you what Dr. Jeff Meldrum told me when I asked him some very direct questions. Then, gosh, and we're going to—I promise you—we're moving on at some point here. I think in the next segment we will get to our crowd UFO manifestation exercise, where we had hundreds of people standing outside this casino at 10 p.m. at night on a Saturday with people all over the world using a wishing machine to try to make a UFO. I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Stick around for more on Speaking of Strange.
By 100 pounds of yeast stands a copper line.
Minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I am Joshua P. Warren. This evening's program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find a link to Wright's Coin Shop. And you may also call them at 828-298-5402. And if you're really lucky, you may even get to talk to Miss Investigator Shelley Wright herself. Again, that number is 828-298-5402. So, I was talking to Jeff Meldrum, and he's a really nice guy. He had a table set up, and he had some, like, Bigfoot stuff on the table, and I bought a couple things from him. And I said to Dr. Meldrum, I said, so you really think that Bigfoot is a normal biological organism, like an ape that we haven't? He said, yeah. I said, well, how do you explain the lack of physical evidence? And he said, oh, we are just not used to dealing with an extremely small population of an extremely big animal. He said, you know, that's just an uncommon combination. And this is one of those combinations. He says they're very big, they're very smart, but there's so few of them. Now, I, of course, think that's weird because every year there are, quote-unquote, Bigfoot sightings in every single state in the United States. But nonetheless, you know, you can just write off the ones you don't like and include the ones you do.
They are still more concentrated in the Pacific Northwest, for sure.
Yes. So, you know, so that's the long and the short of it. Nice guy. That was his opinion. I still feel the way I feel, but that's that. Obviously, Jeff Mudgett did a fantastic program. We played that on the program on this show for you, Speaking of Strange, during a semi-best of. And I did my show, my program there, my presentation on the Bermuda Triangle. But everybody wanted to know if we were going to be able to get a UFO to manifest. So we'd been working on this for months, people using wishing machines all over the place, all over the world, to see if we could get a UFO manifestation. I think it was August, I want to say like 8th.
Yes.
Okay. August 8th, 10 p.m. local time over Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. I'm telling you, there were hundreds of people standing outside. I'm out there with the video camera rolling. And as a matter of fact, I was using Shelly's video camera. Thank you, Shelly.
You're welcome.
And I'm filled the crowd, and people were coming up to me and asking to have their photograph taken with me and all that. And honestly, it was kind of distracting because I wasn't looking up as much as I should have been. And all of a sudden, I hear, like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And people are just going nuts. And I say, what happened? And all these people say they saw this ball of light that appeared in the sky and sort of zigzagged around. I've got a good chunk of footage of this that I put on YouTube. I'll have that linked up for you at speakingofstrange.com. But let me just play one little clip for you from one of the guys who actually saw the UFO. His name is Thomas J. Gibbs. And he, I actually asked him to repeat this for Dave Schrader, because Dave Schrader of Darkness Radio was there. John Tenney was there. Josh Gates from Destination, I think it's Destination Truth, the one that he does. We were all standing there and when this thing happened. So let's go ahead and play this clip, Sam, of just one of many, many witnesses telling me and then repeating it for Dave and the other guys, sort of what he saw.
Was not a star or a plane.
That was true. It wasn't.
Are you, would you mind repeating that on camera?
I've been standing out here staring at stars and planes and these god-awful lights up here, but that was none of those things. I don't know what that was.
That is pretty damn cool, man. Pretty damn cool.
Absolutely. I'm a big skeptic as well, so...
Really?
Yeah. I've never had a paranormal experience. I've never seen a UFO. Haven't been drinking. Nothing like that. I came out here because I thought it was cool.
Hey, guys, come here for a second. Come here for a second.
What?
I want you to listen. I don't know who this guy is, but
listen
to what he has to say. Would you please repeat that?
Okay. I've been standing out here all night. Mm-hmm. I've been staring. Well, not all night, but...
Are you with the convention?
Absolutely.
Okay, I just want to make sure you just weren't standing out here.
I've been staring at planes. I have been staring at stars, and he's got awful lights out here.
Right.
And, I've never had a paranormal experience. I've never seen a UFO. I have never seen a ghost, nothing like that. I'm a skeptic. Like, pretty, like, unless I see it, I don't believe it.
I believe it because you just told me now.
Absolutely.
All right.
So, what I saw up there, I have never seen anything like that before in my life. I can't explain it. I'm not going to say it was a UFO, but it was an unidentified flying object.
That's good enough for me. Let's go in.
Okay, folks, so that's just one of many, many witnesses who said, you know, we're talking hundreds of people, and they all said they saw this weird ball of light appear exactly at 10 p.m. and shoot around. Gosh, we got to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to move on to Philadelphia. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the program. We're digging into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary. It's called Speaking of Strange.